Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is May 1st. Yay, we finally hit May. I hope all the wild weather isn't hit yet. People can celebrate. It's always nice here in California. It's always cold. Like there's like this May gray, and then there's June gloom, and then it gets warm. It's like our summer is July, August, and September, even into October, and then it doesn't get cold until November. By the time it's cold out, all the fall clothes are on sale, so it's perfect timing. But anyway, I'm just getting on chat right now. It is, a very lucky day for me. I have my alarm on my phone, and obviously it wakes me up every day at 5. And today I just thought, let me take a look at my clock, because I'm still asleep. What just happened? And I was asleep at 5:25, and here I am. So I can't believe it, but I am, and thank God I'm so happy, because today's show is one of those shows that are things we probably wouldn't talk about, like, you know, hey, when was the last time you had a butterfly feeling? And I wonder if little kids even know, or younger people know, that there is a butterfly feeling. What do you think? Did you think about that butterfly feeling we used to get when we were little? Or even, do you remember when they had those big boat cars, the, you know, wider cars, and you'd be driving and it would go down just a little hill and you'd get that feeling in your belly, and you would, you know, feel almost like that butterfly feeling. And yet we can get it. And I did get it. And I thought, what happened to the butterfly feeling? Gosh, why don't we feel that anymore? We used to feel that a lot. It doesn't just come and go. Is it, did we forget about it? And then I thought, gosh, what if I reminded people? And then we all started writing that, oh, my God, I got that butterfly feeling today. But it's a great feeling to have, because for you to even get it, it makes you feel that kind of energy, like everything is happy and you could do what you want to do in your life, and life is good, and all these floods of feelings come into place. It takes your perspective and it gives it wings. It's like, yeah, you know, I've been on the right track. Thank God. I feel good. I enjoy feeling good. Yesterday, Susan, who's here in California, and I was on Facebook, and she writes that she has happiness guilt. So she gives herself a punishment she believes she deserves. Happiness guilt. I remember saying that a couple weeks ago. What is that like? Just even coining the phrase happiness guilt. We need to be aware of the fact that when we feel great, we get scared. We get scared of feeling great. We get scared of feeling that good. Because there's two things that happen. One is, what's next? Now what do? I'm happy. And the other is, oh, wow, I'm happy. I'm never happy. Oh, that's weird that nothing is wrong and I have no problem. But there's something Christ talked about. And he talks about it a lot. It's in the origins of truth, bits and pieces of it in original love. But he talks about the other side of love. There is an other side of love. In those videos that Eric brought to our attention and we watched, those videos as well. She didn't say the other side of love. She didn't use, you know, the words that I used. But she was trying to say the same thing. There's this feeling, this great feeling, able to get to a place where it does feel like heaven on earth. And it does, and we do. And we can. And then we start getting that little butterfly feeling again. We just got so used to holding on to be happy. And sometimes we think we have to be happy, and then we like put off our happiness. We say, oh, as soon as I do this and as soon as I do that, and we're so used to the pressure that when we don't feel the pressure, we think something's wrong. Like, okay, I don't have to run anywhere. Now what do I do? Oh, wait, I don't know what it's like to not know what to do next. And then we combine our world to include happiness once we feel happiness. You know what happens when you start to feel a sense of, I want to say, closure with having to have pain in your life all the time? The one thing that starts to happen is you become very conscious of giving your time away. Your time becomes very important to you, and most of the time, that time that becomes very important to you is for you to do things that you enjoy, whether it's a walk, whether it's swimming, whether it's painting, whether you're reading, it doesn't matter what it is. But you start to make time to do those things. You don't allow intrusions of things that rob you of your energy. There's just no way. You will not do it. You think you will? You think you'll let people in that you used to that would come in and just need, and then leave you high and dry and could care less how they left you feeling? Now you'll see them. Before you didn't see them. That's how they got in. But then as they're coming in with all their baggage, you say, hey, you know what? Do you realize that you're carrying around a lot of baggage and a lot of stuff? You might want to address that instead of you trying to fix it. Because you know that they'll come in and rob you of your time. And time becomes very important when you're happy. I know it sounds crazy because usually we think that our time gets taken up from pressure and stress alone. But that's only before you understand happy. When we're under pressure and stress and someone comes at us with something, what do? We say, okay, I'll stick it in over here. And we don't even think about it unless we physically can't do it, do we say no. But when you feel a sense of happiness, something different does happen to us. We do start to pay attention to who we're spending our time with. We do easily start to pay attention to who we help, because we want to make sure that the person we're helping really wants the help. Not needs the help. We all need help in some way, but wants the help. I've never helped so many people that fought me. In the beginning, I just thought, why wouldn't they want to feel better? Why wouldn't they want to be happy? I didn't get why they wouldn't want to. I just couldn't understand it. I found out, and it broke my heart to find that out. There's people that once I got to the bottom of it, and I'm talking clients in the beginning, not as I started to understand personalities better, I, in the beginning, would tell them, you do realize you don't really want to know. And the minute I figure it out, you're going to fight me. And it happened. And if I didn't see it, I wouldn't have believed it myself. But once I figured it out, it was like, oh, no, no. And I thought, but why? Why don't they want to be happy? It's because of happiness guilt. They didn't know who they were when they were happy. And so who did they want to hurt for being happy? Me. figure that out, but it happens. But they taught me the most beautiful lesson. And I knew that over time, once it sunk in, they would start to understand that they too can be happy. They don't have to be upset or feeling miserable. But it takes time. And that's why Christ said to me, say what you need to say, and if someone gets it in 10 minutes or 10 years, it's none of your business. And it's not. It's not any of my business. My business is just to tell the truth. Do you know how happy that made me? How much pressure it took off of me? And then I thought, wow, is telling the truth really that easy? Because we look at it as so hard. Oh my God, we can't tell them the truth. And we do look at it really hard. Because we feel like the truth hurts people, as though a lie doesn't. And we lie, and we're fine with that because we feel like we did not hurt anybody. And yet we did. We hurt them by not telling them the truth. We disrespected them. We disrespected ourselves to not tell the truth. It's not easy. It's not easy to get that butterfly feeling. But boy, when you get it, you will not give it up. Being excited. Really excited, not just like, well, we're going to a play and we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to go on vacation. But to really just be happy, you're just cleaning your house, or you're running out to the grocery store, or you're going to see a movie with your kids or your partner, and you get excited and, you know, all day you guys just kind of plan things around, oh, we're going to go see this movie tonight. And you start to feel like life is okay just as it is. And a lot of the extra running around that you do, I got to go get this, got to go get that, and you realize you could live easily without all the stuff you just thought you were going to go and get. And that once you start to stay home and run little errands instead of spending the whole day out running errands, you start to realize you enjoy thinking again. That you enjoy, and I love this part the most, your own company. That you just enjoy the fact that you are a person, and you start to see that. And you start to really look at what you're giving away your time to in your life. Because once you start to feel that momentum of self-care, and there is a momentum that comes with it, once you start to feel that, it is the most amazing, wonderful, warm, encouraging, supportive feeling you could ever have. Because that stems everything else. And after that, things start changing in your life, and they will. And I remember I have a friend just 2 weeks ago who said to me, well, now that I cleaned out my life, I'm really lonely. And I go, isn't that funny? But I bet you if any one of those people who called you before and just complained and talked over you and didn't listen to what you said but wanted you to listen to them, and then the minute you start talking, they got to go. That's what she was doing. So you wouldn't be able to take it. Try it. See. Because what happens to us as people is that once we've grown, it's hard to go back. And a lot of times, people who just need to download or complain every day, they don't care who they're doing it to. They just need to do it because that's how they function with themselves, for themselves. It's not an easy transition to love yourself, but it's even a harder transition to spend time with yourself. And I don't mean time where you're walking around going, oh, I'm lonely and nobody wants me, because now you're taking the time you have with yourself and you're sabotaging it, just like you would if you picked up the phone to someone who wants to listen to you and help you, and you have to reject it. But there comes a day where we hopefully will wake up from that thought, from that thinking, and allow for ourselves to enjoy our time. That butterfly feeling, or you meet somebody and you like them, whether it's romantic or friendship, because as we get older, we don't have that many new friendships. We're kind of like, you know, just the people we know, and we keep going back to the pool of people we know. But we don't have that many friendships that are brand new. The time that we know the most people will ever know at one time in our lives is when we're in high school. But I think with Facebook, that's kind of changed it up a bit, but it's virtual. It's not real. But that feeling, and every time I think of the butterfly feeling, I think of that feeling when you go, wee, you know, and you're just swinging somewhere or whatever that is, that magical feeling. That is right around the corner in every one of our lives. You know, in December, before the accident that I had, on December 9th, I will never forget it. And I got home at noon that day. But that day, before I had the accident, like maybe about a week or so before, it was getting close to Christmas. And I was feeling this really whimsical, magical feeling, and it didn't go away. It wasn't like it came for an hour and left. It stayed for days. And I was like, wow, this feels weird. Like, I felt like a little kid again. And I was just like feeling silly that I was, but I was telling my kids, I'm like, gosh, you know, I'm going to make Christmas wishes this year. I've never done it. I wanted to make Christmas wishes, like a kid. I didn't know that I was changing, that I kind of got rid of, because it happened so slowly, but I got rid of, and I did it consciously, but I didn't expect the results to be what they were. And there was like someone in my house that I helped out for a couple weeks, didn't leave for 6 months, wouldn't leave. And I was just trying to help him out. And then when he left, he even got mad at me because we made him leave because we didn't have room. And he had no plans on leaving. And he didn't contribute. He didn't do anything. I tried to give that person a forum to find a job and to build a life and, you know, just that chance that I probably would have wanted had I been in that position. Doing all of that, he just got comfortable and wanted to be part of the family, which is great if I could afford to take care of everyone, but I'm working at, you know, Nordstrom at the time, and I'm taking care of my family. And so from the day he left, he unfriended me. That was the big move on Facebook. Unfriended me and has never once spoken to me again because I told him he had to leave. And he tried to tell me that he legally could stay if he's been with us for more than 10 days. And I about lost it. That on top of everything we, all of us, had done to support him, that, and we were asking him to leave, he wasn't leaving, but he would leave during the day and come and sleep at night, trying to act like he was looking for a place, but he wasn't. And it was really, really sad. It broke my heart for a very short time. Because once I realized, why is my heart broken? Why am I upset? I helped him. Is my brain on backwards? And I moved from there into an apartment where there was just no room for anybody, because that was the only way I could protect myself from me. I wasn't upset at him. I felt sad that I couldn't help him, but was I helping him? That was the bigger question. And that's when I realized I had to have like 100th example, not one, not two, but many, many, down to the point where, you know, if I knew you, I was going to help you somehow. And that's when I felt that first breath of emotional freedom from myself, from the repetition, from the believing that everybody wants help. Someone asks me a question, I'll be more than happy to answer it, and I will. But my time, how I feel about my time, became completely valuable to me. There isn't anything in this life that I will ever do again, as long as I live, that wastes my time. And that's when I knew, and that's when I got in a car accident, and I knew it, and I was driving, and all I could think in my head was a few things, but two of them I can tell you. And one of them was what I was going to eat when I got home, before the crash. And the other one was, see, God, I'm perfectly happy right now. If I've done what I needed to do, that's great. I thought I was going to do more, but that's okay if I don't. I'm okay. I'm perfectly happy right now. And I had that feeling, and then there was a car stopped in front of me, like a couch, just sitting on the freeway in moving traffic. They were the people that lied, but sitting. And when I hit them, and I saw my car, I saw their car. Nothing really happened to their car, but it's just a little thing on the bottom. But mine was totaled because of the fact that they weren't moving and I was. And I did try to get away, but I just nipped the side. But because they weren't moving, my car crunched. And the first thing I thought, the very first thing I thought was, oh, my God, this is going to take an hour. First thing I thought about was time. I already knew I was okay because I was thinking. I didn't know yet I had a concussion, but that's okay. It just made me want to sleep a lot, had I known, but I just didn't think of it. I thought, wow, I walked away from this. And the policeman said to me, you'd be shocked how many times this happens, that people's car will look like that and they'll walk out in somebody else's car. The people who I tipped from the back, both retained attorneys and both went for medical. My car was totaled behind them. But it's all attitude. It's how we feel, how we want to feel. I went down and checked on them. They called the police instead of getting out to check on me because they figured, oh, my God, the woman is crunched in there. They went out of their way to tell me they weren't going to lie. They lied. They lied. But I don't care. I love that they did all that because I have this great story to tell now. But that day was the best day of my last year. Because soon after that, when I told you guys I was getting these butterfly feelings, I had that feeling. And it was so strong. So strong. That I knew exactly what I had to do, and I did it. I acted on it. It was so strong within an hour after the accident. I still went home. I still made that meal I thought I was going to make. I was kind of happy we finally were going to get rid of that car. It was 12 years old and had almost 300,000 miles on it. Go Honda. Still looked beautiful. Time for change. And those Christmas wishes I made like a little kid with that little butterfly feeling in my belly, and I really made them, I typed them out on my computer, an email, and sent it to myself. And I forgot about it. Those Christmas wishes I made, all of them already came true. They came true by the, I want to say, the end of February. They all came true. And now that feeling, which is why I wanted to write about it, when we listen to ourselves and we really hear what we're saying, we not only listen, but we hear. And when we hear what we're saying and we act on it, and then when we act on it and we really just start doing it, we start landing in a territory we don't even know who we are. And that's a good thing. It's good to not know who you are. It's great to get that feeling and say, wow, is this me? Same body, different person. This is me being different. And I remember a day I woke up and I go, wow, what does it feel like to think like this all the time? And my first thing was, God, show me. Tell me. I got to see all the other stuff, a lot of it, to the point where I was like numb at times. What's it like not to feel these things? And even now I think, and then I think, oh, wait, old feeling, not new feeling, old feeling. I don't feel those feelings anymore. Now it's just a habit. And so I just say, oh, it's the habit I need to break, not the feeling. Just by listening to me. Just by following that feeling that says, oh, no, you can't. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, no, you can't. Oh, yes, I can. And that you do. And we all can do it. All you need to do, think about your greatest thoughts of your life. What in your life do you desire most? And really write it out. Send it to yourself. Whether you write it out in wishes or feelings, however you want to do it, do it. And then see what happens. You guys, what a way to start a Tuesday. I love you guys so very much. I will see you tomorrow on Relationship Wednesday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.